It's John McIntyre here. Welcome to the Laissez-Faire podcast, where we believe that personal freedom and liberty is the key to building a prosperous civilization and living the good life of peace, order, and abundance. In this podcast, you're going to discover how to get more freedom and control and self-reliance and all that good stuff in your life. I'm here with my good friend, Dan Meredith. Dan.
Hello. Hello, Jonathan. How are you, buddy?
I'm fantastic, mate. How are you?
I'm not too bad. I'm very glad to not be sharing a room with you anymore. That's one of the things I'm probably the happiest I've ever been about. So yeah, other than that, I'm great, mate. How are you?
That sounds kind of kinky when you put it like that. But anyway, we'll talk about that in just a minute. First, let's fill the list around on what's going on here. We actually just met in the US and we bumped into some of the guys, some of the team at the Laissez-Faire. And we started chatting and we found out they wanted to have sort of a podcast or an audio show like we're doing right now. And we threw together the idea of me and Dan, a Brit and an Aussie, putting together some sort of a podcast just like this. So that's what we're here to do. Today we're going to talk about some energy independence.
And we're going to try and make it, you know, we've bounced around the ideas of doing a few podcasts for you guys for a little while. And, you know, we're just going to try and take, we're a Brit and an Aussie, so we're going to take our view on stuff in America, which is going to be quite interesting, we hope.
Quite interesting. I'm thinking that people might be intrigued with the accents to start with.
Yeah, well, I was quite annoyed that I actually have a very good, well-educated English accent, and people seem to understand you more than me, which is quite depressing.
Well, I hope that today, as we talk about this energy independence stuff, that we keep that and people do understand me and my refined Australian accent.
Yeah, we'll come back to that another time.
Well, let's give it a shot, man. Let's talk about this. Energy independence. Tell me about it. What is it?
Well, the answer that I'm fighting saying to you just to be a sarcastic sod is to be independent with your own energy. But I think with regards to this one, we were talking mainly about, you know, how you can not so much live completely off the grid, but how you can, you know, do your own thing, so to speak. So I think the main one that we touched on when we were discussing this and doing our research was, you know, having a kind of, you can kind of be a little more decentralized and kind of get things going with the power of the sun, Jonathan.
The power of the sun. Yeah. What's cool is I was just reading an article about this a couple of days ago to prepare for this little show of ours. And interestingly, it was, you know, solar's been around for a while and everyone, you know, a lot of people are sick of hearing about it. They think that it's been around, the hype's, you know, it's just hype. But what's interesting is, and what this article was saying, is that solar's actually rapidly becoming a viable way to get off the grid. So whether you can go, I mean, you mentioned that, and you can get totally off the grid. You go live in a farm in the mountains or something like that and fire up some solar panels and be completely gone. Like you don't have any wires or anything to your house. You're completely off the grid. Or you can be on grid, which means any excess power you generate gets sent back to the grid, which is pretty cool. Well, I mean, what would you prefer, Dan?
What would I prefer?
What would you prefer if you had to pick?
If I could live away in the mountains with no people. Yeah, I think I'd probably take that one nowadays. I think after, like I said, I think the craziness of sort of New York, London and Paris in the sort of 24 hours that we were together. Yeah, I think the idea of being mountain-based and freedom is quite appealing to me. And to be honest with you, I think it's a part of the fact that, I mean, this is why, you know, I think we were talking about our mutual love for America, you know, very much the land of the free. Mm. And if I think this dovetails in really nicely with that American philosophy, i.e. you now don't even need those big centralized power sources anymore. You can do it yourself. Mm. So if you do want to have, you know, your creature comforts, your aircon, your Netflix, and I don't know, your big ice machines, whatever it is, it's a necessity in the American home. I'm not too sure what is. if you're clever with your solar powers, solar panels even, you can actually do that. So yeah, personally, mate, I think I would choose off-grid any day of the week. Mm.
There's something kind of like really cool about, I mean, not just solar and not just this as an idea. And I got some cool facts here that I'd like to share in a minute, but just the whole idea of like the internet and technology and what it's doing for, what it's really doing is empowering the individual to take back his freedom, to take back the self-reliance so that if he wants to, you know, if we want to live off the grid, we can live off the grid now. And it's not with, you know, we don't need to, you know, light a fire with like flint stones or something like that. Like we can have all the modern conveniences that we're also used to and we love without relying on the government. And the power source is huge. So I think there's something philosophically just awesome about that.
Well, yeah, I mean, I looked into the kind of history of where power came from. Did you look into that at all? Did you have a look?
I did not. Tell me about it.
Yeah, well, okay, this is me. I'm going back to my notes. I'm a big fan of a chap called Tesla. A lot of people may know, sort of heard about that name recently with the electric cars and stuff, but he's probably one of the most unsung modern heroes ever. He basically invented most of the things we use in the electrical world. And then just didn't paint them, just gave them to people because he wanted them to learn stuff. So no one really, a lot of people outside of the scientific community and don't know their history, don't know who he is. But he did a wonderful thing. There's two sorts. You had Edison, who wanted a decentralized grid. So he wanted everyone to kind of be around lots of little small hubs. So kind of like, you know, had a small power plant per town. Whereas Tesla, with a guy called Westinghouse, they wanted the big grid. So basically one was AC current and one was DC current as well. And what won out was, obviously, as we know, was the big centralized grid, because that's what we all use with AC current. So that's the one that ran out. So it's starting to come back a little bit because people, you know, can see the flaws in the big monsters running all of our energy and obviously the control it has over our lives. And, you know, I think things like solar power, wind power, I mean, they're probably the two main ones that are applicable to most people. So we've taken a little bit of that power back. Do you like taking the power back? Yeah, I like that. I was about to say, that just went almost a little bit righteous there, didn't it? That wasn't the plan. But no, I mean, over in the UK, though, I mean, for example, you know, I mean, I must have people knock on my door at least every couple of weeks trying to get me to switch my energy providers. And I'm sat here where I sit right now. My balcony is south facing. I literally, from this is about 9 a.m. now to at least 4 or 5, if you know the weather's good, beaming sunlight on me all the time. And I own a fitness business, and the place where that is, the site where it is, they've just spent tens of thousands of pounds fitting hundreds of solar panels. It's just flat roofs, but there's several hundred square meters of just space up there. So they've just decided to whack panels on the lot, and they're gonna, you know, obviously they've got a cost of fitting and getting all that done, but their energy bill is just gonna start dropping dramatically. So it's a kind of cool thing. So I think if we are clever about it, we can take the power back. I'm gonna keep saying that now. That's gonna be my phrase of the day.
Take the power back. I like that. There's a great Rage Against the Machine song called Take the Power Back. Maybe that should be the intro song if we keep doing this podcast.
Well, there's another Rage Against the Machine song which has quite a good chorus, which could potentially fit in with the Lasso Fair Letter, but I think from when we were talking with the guys at HQ, quite a smart readership, and I'm not too sure if that's gonna, what's the word, sync with the demographic. Sync, yeah. So maybe we can try it. We can try it. Test maybe. It on one, see what feedback we get.
Well, yeah. I mean, if someone has a suggestion, if the listener has a suggestion, there'll be a place to put comments in and let us know. What song would you like to have as the intro? Because we could let them build the show.
Yeah, you tell us, guys. We are welcome to your feedback.
So let's talk about, I got some facts here that I think would be cool to just sort of have a chat about. 74%
straight to your facts.
74% of all new power generating capacity came from solar power. And for the first time, residential solar installations surpassed commercial installations. So what that means is that people, you know, just who have a house in the suburbs, so not corporations, not big companies, not people with billions of dollars, just the ordinary mom and dad at home with three kids, are, you know, it's getting to a point now where it's affordable for them to install solar and to really get that energy independence so they can lower their costs.
Well, that's the target market. I mean, you know, we have it here in the UK, and I'm not too sure which country you're in at the moment, John, because you're a bit of a traveling sort. But the squeezed middle, as they call it over here, is the one that, you know, most people ignore. So they're the people who are looking to try and make savings. They're not at the bottom of the rung who need more money, and that's, you know, that's okay. You know, they need the help. And then they're not the super rich. These are people who are in the middle with, you know, sort of 50 to 150,000 sort of income with an individual or family. So they've got money to spare, but they've got less than a lot less than they used to. And obviously the amount they spend on their energy is pretty high. So any savings they can get there, there's a company in the States, I forget the name of it, who pitch, you know, solar panels to fit on your house for you. And they say, oh, you don't have to pay anything for like 20 years or so, but then you start paying a fee. But if you're quite clever, I looked at some numbers, you could actually fit your own panels for, put it this way, you would break even in about 7 or 8 years.
Yeah.
Which is not bad, really.
I think that's pretty good.
Yeah, I do too. Then again, I was thinking, what could I live with for 7 or 8 years? And I remember I had 6 days with you. So I've got to think, as time is very relative as well, John.
Right.
And we will have to reference that in another podcast, because that was, yeah, for any of you laissez-faireers out there who like to travel and like to experience the world, definitely want to meet John. It makes your journey entertaining.
It's entertaining. Hopefully, goodly entertaining.
Oh, John, I would have been. You know how angry I was getting when I was trying to buy a train ticket. I really, really was not a happy man at that point. So yeah, you saved my backside a few times. But yeah, sorry, man. We've gone off on a tangent. I'm just having flashbacks to that damn train journey.
You know what the cool thing is that I find so exciting about this stuff is that as you really, we're talking about economic efficiency. That wealth that people are spending on, you know, or value that people are spending on their energy, they're about to be, you know, we're all about to start harnessing that from the sun, which doesn't cost anything aside from, you know, once we've got the solar panels installed, which means that, you know, as this becomes more affordable and as people start to adopt it on a mass scale, a whole bunch of money and wealth is going to be diverted from the energy industry to everywhere else. So from an economic point of view, it might be shutting down some of these power companies or oil companies or that sort of thing, but it's going to raise, I'd say it's absolutely going to raise the standard of living across the board in the long run.
I think it's like the internet of energy, so to speak. It's a great leveler.
That's a great leveler.
I mean, I think, I know, I just came up with it and that wasn't on my notes. So I'm, do you know what? I didn't come up with the special ones, but no, I was thinking this the other day. If you can become energy independent, yeah. So let's just say you have a home and you own your home outright and it's yours. And then you've obviously got energy independence. You've got your solar, you've got your wind, whatever it is you choose. Then if you decide, because I mean, obviously we've spoken about, you know, traveling and seeing more of the world and, you know, we kind of have our businesses with us wherever we go. If you know your home is kind of, you know, ticking over, you've got energy coming in. So you obviously the house isn't going to seize up. Things aren't going to go wrong. You can just take off. There's no bills coming. So if you own your home, off you go.
That was quite a cool day.
It actually kind of, I think it can free up a lot of people because you're not having to worry about paying all these things and bills and having things cut off because you know what? As long as the sun's still shining and as long as we live, John, should be, you're good to go. And I think you, nice, you know, we mentioned the internet just a moment ago. What I like about this, you've got to think about, look at the computers that we took with us, yeah? Okay, so look at the processing powers of our Macs and we're working, right? Think about the technology that's gone into them. So if you look at the old photovoltaic cells from, you know, 10, 15 years ago, they're huge, great big thick monsters, and they're getting thinner and thinner and cheaper and cheaper. So as you said, as more people adopt this, the cost of actually making the stuff is going to go down and the technology is just going to improve. It's just like anything else, you know, processes are going to get smaller, technology is going to get better. It's going to become more affordable.
Yeah.
And I think especially this is going to make a bigger revolution in, you know, I think, you know, so the squeezed middle, yet, you know, if they can afford to get these cells fitted in their roofs or gardens, then fantastic. But I think the developing countries, when the cost comes down enough, you know, imagine if you can, you know, you can find some small village somewhere which has, you know, been, you know, or some war-torn country where there just isn't a power source or it's been cut off, and you can just get these things bolted up and ready. How amazing would that be?
It's going to be incredible, man. I mean, one thing here is I've got is like sustainable sources of energy. They're rapidly achieving what's called grid parity, which basically means, right, the solar and wind sources of energy, so sustainable stuff, it's about to cross the threshold of being cheaper than anything else. So cheaper than oil, cheaper than, you know, living on the grid, which is what we've been doing. And 5 years ago, like you were saying, it's coming down. 5 years ago, it would have cost you about $7 per watt capacity to get some solar installed. Now it's down to $1. Almost.
Yeah, that's the fantastic thing. And the thing is there's two ways of looking. I was thinking this as well. There's the two ways of becoming energy independent. First of all, we're talking about, you know, let's just say solar and wind. I mean, we spoke mainly about solar today just because that's going to be most familiar to most people. But there was something I wanted to touch on, which was actually how you can save money doing this already. So I don't know. I've got together some Dan's interesting tips.
I like that.
So I don't know if you want to do that now or if you want to come to that at the end, because I got a few, just some simple little, I'm a big fan of a hack.
Hit me. I love Dan's little tips, man. Show me some Dan's little tips. Show me some
love. Well, do you know that I was just, I was surfing the interwebs and just trying to find ways to make a few more. And this was the first thing that I heard. And I actually quite, I got to say, I like this. It just says, if you're hot, wear less. And the whole concept is that, I mean, I think obviously in my country, we don't really have no air conditioning. We have no central air. We have nothing like that. But you can expand all these fancy systems. You can have your geothermal heating, your wind, your solar, and all that kind of stuff. But there's some really, really simple ways of just making this work better for you. Mm-hmm. And if it's hold. God, I'm combining words again. That's hot and cold.
You're right.
So if it's cold, go with a jumper. If it's hot, get down into your swimwear. I mean, if you're at home, obviously, and there's a certain degree of moral decency you might want to keep on, but we can actually make some really big financial savings by going old school.
I remember reading in one article, there was a couple, these guys were talking about how low, they were almost competing on how low they could survive, like, you know, with the temperature in their home. So who could keep repeating set to the lowest temperature? Not to cool it down, but just so in the winter, who was using the least amount of electricity?
Well, that's it. I mean, you got to think about it. You know, I was in Miami not too long ago for an event, and I remember walking out of the hotel and just feeling like I'd been hit by a wall. I never experienced it. Like, the heat and the humidity was just unbelievable. And the thing is, I was talking to some locals, and obviously they're used to it. And it's like anything, you know, your body is quite clever, and it will get used to things. And one of the what, you know, obviously we were talking about, you know, I come from a fitness background originally, is, you know, you can train your body to adapt and change to things. And this guy, another guy over in this cycle, he was slowly, so over the winter, he would do like what your guys were doing, and would see how low they could go, and then adapt to it. In the summer, doing the same. So letting your body, you know, do its thing. So you don't need to run the aircon at, you know, max or the heating on 24/7. Just letting your body do its thing and then supplementing it with either more or less clothes.
Right.
Saves a fortune.
Well, the interesting part though as well is that people want to be independent or energy independent. And some people get so addicted to having that, you know, having the heater, having the AC on, you know, when it's hot or when it's cold. The problem with that is, like you just mentioned, is that when their body adapts to it, let's say you get used to, you know, you're living in a cold climate and you got the heating on all the time. What happens if for some reason the grid shuts down or you solar system shuts down and you run out of power, run out of heating? There's a lot of people whose bodies simply cannot cope and they would die in that situation. So it's not as simple as just having solar. You really want to set up your life so that you are energy, you know, in that case, energy independent. I mean, that's why we go to the gym, right? To create physical independence, so we don't need a wheelchair.
And it's all compatible. I don't think the gym stops you from being in a wheelchair,
you know,
John.
I mean, you get the idea. You know exactly what I mean.
So, I'll be honest, if that cured a lot of ills, mate, we would be selling. I'd just be in gym membership sales. That's all I'd be doing.
Put it this way, if you stay fit, if you go to the gym and stay fit, you're going to maintain your independence, your physical independence for a lot longer than if you sit in a chair.
Jonathan. Okay, hands up. Okay. Who is a qualified fitness professional and has been in that industry for many years, and hands up who lives in Thailand and does a bit of CrossFit. Okay, so let's just see which one's which. All right, sunshine? So, yes, I agree with what you're saying. And yes, thank you, Jonathan. I am fully aware of the benefits of physical training. Yes. But jokes aside, you're right. I mean, that's the thing. It's like we have become used to creature comforts on all the time. I mean, this, you know, I was finding all these kind of like energy hacks, and I love all this sort of stuff. And it had things like, you know, using like an old-fashioned push lawnmower. And I can't remember the last time I seen one. My dad had one. You know, the old, just literally the rotary blades that you would push along, and all these other little things that people have gotten used to. You know, the real easy things to make life super simple. And there's obviously, you know, mechanical and hand-done versions of everything.
You know what?
You know, they said, like, what's that?
I do a lot of writing, right, for business. And there's one thing I'm not going to do, and that's give up my computer and use a pen and paper, because that would just take way too long.
True, but you, like you said, I think we both have... You know what? I'm not even going to be drawn with you on this one, John. What I'm saying is, there are, you know, we are, technology is so good nowadays. Like, literally everything can be automated, systematized, done for you. You know, it's turned on and off from a smartphone, planned from a wall, easy. But there are certain areas that, you know, quite frankly, we could resort back to basics again. Yeah. And I'm not talking about, you know, going, you know, full kind of prepper or, you know, stepping off the grid or anything like that. What I'm talking about is just, you know, there are things we don't necessarily need on them. I mean, if I look around my, you know, room now, I mean, yeah, I've got, you know, I try and be pretty good, but I've got five or six things plugged in that aren't being used. And that, even on a small level, is drawing energy. And, you know, there's two ways of looking at it. You can either just put your head in the sand and go, well, everyone else is wasting energy, so I am. Or you can kind of be a little bit of a beacon, Jonathan. And, you know, try and do your bit. I mean, you know, I've tried to unplug phones. I've tried to take things off standby, you know. And it's like anything. If you remind yourself to do it, it makes a difference. And, you know, we all can do this for ourselves and, you know, for the planet we live on. We've only got one.
Right. And just to bring it back to the theme of independence and self-reliance, it's that it's not so much just about lowering your energy so you can, you know, make the greenies happy, I suppose. But it's but by lowering your energy expenditure, you're going to make you lower your, you know, your need, your reliance on the grid and on power in general. So then solar is a much better thing. But the less you rely on something artificial like power anyway, the more independent you're going to be as it is. So I think we're right on time, man. But before we go, one thing I wanted to mention was next time, or how about this? Solar panels on the roof is one way to, like we've been talking about, get energy independent and really, you know, decrease or lower your reliance on the government, on the grid, that sort of thing. All right, and it's a good first step, and it will keep you safer than your neighbors. But there's something else that regular folks like us, like me and Dan, like you, there's another source of power and one that will keep your electricity running no matter what's happening in your area. And that's something we're going to talk about in a future episode if we decide to continue doing this podcast. So, Dan, what do we need to know if we're going to continue doing this podcast?
I think, guys, to be honest with you, we are conscious you are an American audience and we are two individuals who are quite a fan of your country. Part of the reason this came about was because we're going to have a different take on things. Obviously, you know, you guys are going to be listening to, reading your laissez-faire letter, obviously, you're consuming information in that world. We want to know what you would like to hear. We've tried to make this entertaining. We've tried to give you a different spin on things from people who aren't in your country. So we welcome feedback. I think we just want to know if it's something you like and what are the kind of topics you would like us to look into. Because each week, as we, I think we discussed, John, we're going to, you know, take the topic. We're going to run with it. We both go away and do our own independent research and sort of see what we come back with. And then this is just a kind of a free chat just to see how it works.
Done. Well said.
Done.
So I think what's going to happen now is we're gonna wrap up this podcast. We'll stop recording. We'll send it over to the laissez-faire, and they'll we'll get them to put it up on a blog post on the website or a page on the website where you're probably going to end up listening to this MP3. Now, below this, there's going to be a box for comments, and that's where we want you to say, you know, hey, guys, really loved the podcast. Here's what I'd like you to talk about. Or maybe tell us what you didn't like, because often it's what people didn't like, and, you know, and I've had this with products that I sell. When people tell you what they don't like, that's often much more helpful and much more constructive feedback. So that's that. That's how to get in touch. I think this wraps us up, Dan. This is it.
That's us done. Thank you very much, guys. Appreciate your time.
Cool. John McIntyre and Dan Meredith with the Laissez-Faire Podcast.
Bye-bye.